opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon and welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It is a Thursday afternoon as I broadcast from the state of North Carolina down here in the South. Today's date is December the 22nd, 2016. So what, just about 8 days left in this year, and we'll be going into 2017 with a lot of unknowns, especially concerning the incoming CEO of USA Inc., Donald Trump. So welcome to the broadcast today. We do have a guest scheduled for you today. I think we were supposed to have Brother Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project on last week, and we weren't able to get him on, so I invited him to come on today. I was on their Facebook page. Again, that's Clear the Airways Project, and saw some good news to report for a change. But before I get into that, let me share some of the other news that I will be sharing with you today. Weeks ago, you might have seen my BTR News commentary. I do a weekly commentary for another radio program, but I do distribute those commentaries. And I did a commentary, I think it was last week, that I did the commentary about the United States funding the drug war in the Philippines and are directly, if not indirectly, responsible for the mass murders against people suspected of using or selling drugs in the Philippines. This man only came into power, I'm talking about the Philippine President Duterte, only been in office for about 6 months, and it appears they've been killing about 1,000 people per month, as numbers are saying that an official count might be up to 6,000. It's probably more than that. And the United States finally, I came across some news today that they were cutting off some of the funding to the Philippines. So I want to share some of the details with that story. We also have updates on the states that recently voted to legalize medicinal as well as recreational cannabis, which will definitely limit the number of potential slaves on America's prison plantations. There is new research that shows that while mainly white adults are experiencing a high number of drug overdoses, I think I shared an article earlier this week where heroin-related drug overdoses, those deaths exceeded the number of deaths related to so-called gun violence. This is worse than the crack epidemic of the 1990s, in my opinion. But there's research that shows that while mainly these adults are overdosing on drugs, teen use of drugs have been on a continual decline. So that's some good news, and it also flies in the face of the drug war propaganda that if you legalize any kind of drugs, that means teens are going to start using them, and the exact has been the opposite has what we have seen. So that's some good news. Also want to take a look at some of the latest news on the slave catchers and plantation overseers getting caught breaking the law. I just was reading a story. I don't have this story lined up for you, but I just got through reading a story about a prison guard in Michigan at a woman's prison being charged in the death of a prisoner. Also, a response from President Obama on designating the KKK as a terrorist group was shared with me today in our social media community, btrcommunity.com. Someone posted a response that Barack Obama gave in response to a White House petition asking him or the White House or the Obama administration to designate Ku Klux Klan members or these organizations as terrorist groups, domestic terrorist groups. And the response that they gave after over 100,000 people signed this petition, the response that they gave was pathetic, to say the least, and it is simply steeped in racism and white supremacy. So hopefully we can get to all of those stories. But first, let's go ahead and see if we can bring Brother Kwabena on. Kept hearing somebody going in and out of the conference line, but I'm not sure that that was him. Let me send him a quick message. Again, I'm on his Facebook page for Clear the Airways Project. And there is some good news to report. So, yeah, we can get Brother Kwabena to, I don't know if that was him calling in or what, but if we can get him to share some of this good news with us, that'll be a good thing. Let me see, what can I discuss with you in the meantime? I guess I'll go ahead and go with this story about some of the latest reports on these slave catchers behind these enemy lines, these plantation overseers. I saw an article the other day that talks about how it's not impossible, but it's very difficult, I should say. It's very difficult to get convictions even when these slave catchers get convicted of crimes, or excuse me, not convicted, charged with crimes. There's always some jury that's going to end up in a hung jury, or they're just going to let the person go scot-free. They're going to find them not guilty. So it's very, very difficult. And I base some of that difficulty on the propaganda out there, that this police propaganda. It's not that I seek to demonize police, but I simply seek to tell the truth, that all of these cops out there are not heroes. They are not doing this job because they care so much about our freedom and liberty, and they want to protect us from the bad guys. In too many cases, they are the bad guys. And so as much as possible, I just want to show that these people are people, meaning that they are fallible, and they engage in the same sort of crimes that they be hunting down and locking up people for. So this comes to you from StopTheDrugWar.org. Let me see if that's Brother Kwabena before I go on. No, that's not Brother Kwabena. Let me go ahead and continue on. Again, this is comes from StopTheDrugWar.org. That's StopTheDrugWar.org. So Homeland, okay, I think we do got Brother Kwabena. All right, let's bring him in. Hey, Brother Kwabena, I was just about to go into some news stories on these slave catchers. Glad you was able to join us. I thought you might have been having some problems. How are you today, sir? Brother Kwabena, we cannot hear you. Okay, what is going on here? I'm sure my audio is working.
This past election was challenging.
Yes, I can.
As a citizen.
Yes, so my audio is working. Brother Kwabena, you might have yourself muted. Are you there? Okay, Brother Kwabena, as soon as you can chime in, just go ahead and let me know. I'm going to leave your mic open. All right, getting back to these stories. So, first story. Again, this is this week's Corrupt Cop Stories, coming to you from StopTheDrugWar.org. In Niagara Falls, New York, a former Niagara Falls police officer was arrested on charges she sold cocaine to undercover cops. Stephanie Costanza, no relation to George Costanza, I assume, but Stephanie Costanza, 28, her boyfriend and another woman were all arrested on cocaine and cannabis sales charges. She had been on leave since an initial arrest last month, but now she has resigned from the force. So I mean, that's how strong police unions are and how these people are. Even when you arrest one of them, you can't fire them right away. All right. So, but she has resigned. Another story comes to you from San Diego. A former U.S. Homeland Security Investigations agent was indicted last Wednesday on charges he stole hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash from drug money couriers and tried to hide the money via real estate transactions in American and Croatian banks. Former agent Tyrone Cedric Duran, 46, worked on Homeland Security's bulk cash smuggling task force, which targeted Mexican drug trafficking organizations and participated in at least 20 major cash seizures. But he is accused of conducting the searches and seizures without reporting them. Duran and his wife made at least $1.2 million in cash deposits over a four-year period. He faces money laundering, bank fraud, conspiracy, false statements, and structuring financial transaction charges, and he is out on bail. Brother Quabner, are you there? Still not able to hear from you. Okay. Let's see. Let me move on to the next story. In Houston, a Jefferson County jail supervisor was convicted last Thursday of taking bribes from a jail Mexican cartel leader. Donald Roy Kelly was found to have initiated contact with Gulf cartel leader Francisco Sáenz Tamés, who was there pending trial on federal drug trafficking. Yes, I'm here. Yeah, okay. Finally, we can hear you. Let me wrap up this story, Brother Quabner, and we'll bring you in. Brother Quabner, you there? Yeah, something. Let me try. Brother Quabner? Let me try muting you and unmuting you. Maybe that'll clear up the issue. Brother Quabner? Okay, I'm hearing something come off your line. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, what's going on with you, Brother Quabner? How are you today? Okay, I'm not hearing anything from you. Bro, we might have to reschedule this.
Now I'm saying mute off. Am I with you now?
Yes, you are. All right.
Seems like off.
Say that again.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm going to try you from another line real quick.
Well, I can hear you. Can you not hear me? Yeah, there is something going on with this conference line. Let me try it. To restate it, I apologize for these technical issues. Really don't understand why these issues are happening right now. Okay, audio cards are straight. Let's get dialed back in.
Joining conference now.
All right. Brother Quabner, do we got you on the line? All right, that is not working. All right, so anyway, this guy, this jail supervisor was found guilty of providing a prison inmate with. Area code 219, who do we have on the line?
Oh, you got me, Quabner.
Hey, Brother Quabner, let's go ahead and jump right into it. How are you today?
Okay.
All right, good.
I'm good, man. And you?
Hey, I'm just surviving behind the enemy lines as I try to do every day, man. So I don't really like complaining, but I don't also like saying everything's fine when it's not, because slavery still exists. People still on these plantations, and they need to be set free. So I'm not going to complain too much. But I do see some good news that you reported yesterday about the Gary City Council. So since we had a rough start, let me just tell everybody, Brother Kwabena Rasuli is joining us. He's with the Clear the Airways Project, which is an organization that works to do what the name implies, and that's clear the radio airways of all this garbage that we call murder music, killer radio. These problems have been discussed for years, but, you know, not too many people seem to be interested in cleaning up the language in the way women are referred to, unless we're talking about Donald Trump, of course. But I saw, Brother Kwabena, yesterday that you posted that the Gary City Council made an announcement concerning the projects y'all been working on. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we went there on Tuesday at the general meeting, and so we spoke on, you know, issues with this music, which they're well aware that we're on top of, that we got to do something about it. We gave them some examples of the song by a rapper named Lil Uzi Vert, where he said, I think the title is I Should Have Listened or something, where he talks about going out and hooking up with this girl at a club and taking her home and doing this thing with her, and then he gets upset when he finds out that four other guys are doing the same thing with this girl. So I'm going to take it out on your family. I'm going to F your sister and make her vanish.
Mm-mm-mm.
And make her, and that's said directly on the radio. You know, they blur out the F, beep out the F word, but make her vanish is unedited. And it's a top 10 song in the country for our children. So we shared that with them. We shared a song that we heard at a basketball game we refereed at. What is it? We're rapping about the little girl, Lil Ma, whatever her name is, who thinks he's a guy. And we talked about how that was played there, and they agreed. They said, you know what, bro, you've been on this for a while, and we are going to bring this resolution before the council condemning these killer radio stations in our area, particularly 92.3 and WGCI in the Chicago area, for playing all that violent, vulgar music. We told them that every time our children tune into these stations, they're being called the N-word. N-bombs are being dropped on them, and their mothers, their aunties, and their grandmothers, and their big sisters are being called B's and H's. And it's time for it to stop. It's beyond time for it to stop. So, yeah, so that was some good news. And so we're working with them on this resolution that's been done already. Our comrades, Rage Against the Ratchet, had it done in Philly and also in Dover, Delaware. And we need it to be done in dozens and dozens of cities throughout the country. We need to do whatever we can to put a stop to this horrific madness that is on these radio stations. Bob Law said the other day that black music radio is acting as an enemy to black people.
I would agree. I mean, it is a propaganda operation that some people just don't seem to understand. And but let me ask you this question. Now, this is a positive development. I was unaware that Philadelphia had passed a similar resolution. But this isn't a law. This isn't anything that's going to stop them from playing the music. Again, I always want to look at the positive if I can, and it is a positive development that they are acknowledging that, you know, this is a problem. So what's the next step then?
Well, that's what I'm saying, bro. It's so many little strategies in this battlefield on this one, on our people, which is such an important one, this propaganda, this culture, this attack on our culture. And so at the same time, you know, I do a conscious hip-hop show here in Gary. I've been doing it for 16 years, going on 17 years. It's called A Weekly Wrap-Up,
mm-hmm.
Conscious Hip-Hop. And we just found out that it's a school system radio, so it's a not-for-profit radio station. It's a school-owned radio station. So now they want to bring in some club DJs to replace my Friday night show with club DJs for a school system radio station. So when you get one little victory, here comes some other stuff, another battle we got to fight, because we're not having that in Gary anyway. So it'll be a big battle, but I think it'll be a small one, because again, the community is aware of what's going on. But our next step on this, man, is to get the people, because you know our goal, brother, you've been, again, supporting this for a while with Black Talk Radio, and we really appreciate that. But our goal, as we stated at the beginning of last year, was not to get this stuff off the air before the end of 2016. Mm-hmm. We got 9 days left.
Right.
We still feel it's doable, because if it was any other race, if they were playing songs on the radio saying, "I hate Jews, I'm a Nazi," or "I hate kikes or heaves, I'm a Nazi," there wouldn't be no argument with McDonald's or any other corporation that financed that crap today to get it off or to stop financing that. But because they said about black people, you know, it's allowed to continue.
Right.
And so, but if we put up the proper fight against it, which can happen tomorrow, it can stop tomorrow.
Right.
It can stop tomorrow. So we still feel that this, with only 9 days left, that this goal is achievable. And, you know, it's a must-do, because the effects of this crap, bro, we talk about it all year, is detrimental. It's music. It's culture. It's the people's way of life. If the music is constantly telling you the N-word and devaluing your life and telling you that your women are nothing but B's, H's, and thoughts, which means them holes out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can, no wonder the conditions that we live under. No wonder, like Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. said earlier this month when we were at the program for the anniversary when they killed his father, and Defense Captain Mark Clark, when he said that it's embarrassing to be oppressed. It's embarrassing. And this stuff is embarrassing, man. For it to be on major radio stations. I mean, this white dude, White Mike out of Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
who does Do Better Now, he has like a TED Talk, a 20-minute TED Talk. He said, "You just go down to FM dial, go to each station. It's the only time you hear a station where we're talking about using the N-word and talking about killing people and calling women B's and H's. It's when it's a station for black children."
Right.
The only time.
You know,
it has to stop.
Tom Wheeler, the current FCC chairman, has announced that he will be stepping down. I have not seen nor heard of who. Doesn't the president, the CEO of USA Inc., appoint the chairman of the FCC? Don't they nominate them and they have to go?
That's my understanding.
Yeah, that's
my understanding. So that means Donald Trump will be doing it, I guess, now.
Yeah, and so I haven't heard any names being floated around, but I did hear that Tom Wheeler, the current chairman of the FCC, is stepping down. So that's something to keep our eye on, who this incoming person is. They might be more receptive to this message. They may not be, but we'll wait and see on that.
Well, Scotty, I wouldn't be surprised if they are more receptive, because if you look at, you know, you got the current administration and using Beyonce as role models and hanging out with Slave Z, you know, maybe they may be more receptive, and so be it. I mean, because it's, we got mad at Trump for grabbing girls by you know what, but then less than a week later, Hillary Clinton is having a big concert in Cleveland with all sorts of ratchet music and ratchet rappers dropping N-bombs and calling out women B's and
H's. Oh, really? I didn't hear about that. Really?
Yeah, she was on stage with Beyonce, Slave Z, before that, Chance the Rapper, who was put out there for us. Chance the Rapper was up there, and they were playing music from Young Thug of I Don't Care What Happens in the Mike Brown Trial fame, as long as we blinging and making money. He was rapping, calling B's and H's and N's. Who else? Some other ratchet rappers were performing, and their music was being played at this program for Hillary Clinton, who was there. She stepped out on stage, and Slave Z kept on dropping N-bombs after that.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I did mention to you via message that I wanted to talk to you again about Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama recently did an exit interview with Oprah Winfrey on the OWN Network, Oprah Winfrey Network. And during this long interview, she brings up Donald Trump again and the language that he was using in reference to women on the campaign trail and some of the things he has said in the past. And she talked about how important language is that's being used in this society and how language can have an impact on children. So, I mean, she did. That's in that Oprah Winfrey interview. It's about an hour long interview, but she again said that she felt like it was important for her to speak out, you know, on the behalf of women and girls in the light of what Donald Trump, the misogynistic language that Donald Trump was using. So, as I've stated in the past, when she first says something about Donald Trump on the campaign trail and his misogynistic language and what have you, is wouldn't it be something if she could, would become a spokesperson, taking up the mission of Clear the Airways Project, Rage Against the Ratchet, if she became part, since she's saying language is so important, and I agree that words are very important, and she concerned about, you know, these people using this language and our children hearing it. So where's she at then? Where's she at on this ratchet hip hop?
She needs to be challenged on it. I wasn't aware of that statement per se. I mean, I was aware of it before, and her saying that Beyonce is a role model to her daughters years ago. But she needs to be challenged on it because, you know, I mean, the Clear the Airways Project came about a time when we saw Mrs. Obama, because it was Hydea Pendleton who was shot down from Chicago, where the First Lady's from, you know, shot down weeks after coming back from the inauguration, performing at the inauguration.
I remember
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why we were already demonstrating here in the Gary, Northwest Indiana area, and we hooked up with our brothers and sisters in Chicago called Culture Freedom Group, and that's when we formed the Clear the Airways Project, you know, because of Hydea Pendleton. I mean, she was the impetus for this project right there when that poor, not poor, I shouldn't say poor, but our 14-year-old sister was shot down by some knuckleheads right outside of Martin Luther King High School in Chicago. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because you look at all the shootings going on in Chicago, all the killings, where this president who's from Chicago has not came back to hold a town hall meeting or really give hardly any energy to this fratricidal epidemic that's taking place in Chicago right now.
Mm. Wow. I will continue. I don't know if she's on Twitter or not, or if there's a way for her. Well, she still will be in there, I guess. You could email her at flotus@usainc.com or something. But yeah, she does need to be called to carpet on that. This just reminds me of something that you've said on the program in the past about, hey, Rush Limbaugh talking bad, talking nasty about white women like Sandra Fluke. And then everybody want to, you know, let's stop advertising on, let's stop supporting Rush Limbaugh radio and what have you. But then whenever we're talking about music or that kind of language being directed at black people, oh, nobody seems to have a problem with it other than people like yourself and that support this movement. So, yeah, she need to be called to the carpet on that.
Yeah, she sure does. Hey, Scotty, a couple more things, man. You know, you're running short on time, but a couple more things, man. We've been sending out pledge letters to McDonald's and their CEO, letting him know that we are not going to support McDonald's anymore because they continue to be like the major advertiser on the stations, many stations throughout the country that play this killer music. And so we're saying, you know, and these letters have been going. We sent like about several hundred out a couple of weeks ago, and we continue to send them out. And we just need more people to understand and get on page with this, because this has such a significant impact on how we act and how we treat each other. You know, this music, it's just something has to change. But I've been listening lately again. I take a little time off from listening because it kind of gets to me. So I should say I've been monitoring lately. Mm-hmm. And they just blatantly played the B word on the radio the other day. But they had these songs so crazy about sex and licking this and doing that. It's just horrible, man.
Where are all these people, though, that like to point the fingers and talk about black boys sagging their pants or the violence or immoral culture, who like to point the finger at black people? But then where are these people in this project and helping to clear the airways? Why isn't anyone calling out like the family focus group? You got these Christian groups out there. Family Focus is one of them, a right-wing Christian group. You would think that they would be natural allies because they try to act like they are moral and for morality and all this and that. But again, when it comes to black radio or radio masquerading like it's black, they're sorely missing in action.
Bob, one of the things that Bob Law says, we're part of the National Black Leadership Alliance, and we talk about how No matter what organization you're in, no matter if you're fighting for reparations, if you're fighting against police terrorism, you know, you have to deal with this issue. I'm gonna share the story with you. We had Samira Rice was in town recently in Gary, the mother of Tamir Rice. An excellent presentation at a university out here. And one of the speakers, who was Black Lives Matter, spoke, and she lamented about police brutality. She lamented about political prisoners, right on, right. As you know, we love that. You know, we love to. We got to get our political prisoners out of these prisons. That's another real quick. Barack Obama, you just released 250 people clemency. 250. So we need our political prisoners free before you get out of here. So she talked about that. But then I caught her outside with these pledge letters. We were getting them signed, and you know, she said, "No, I like the music." So she wouldn't sign the letter. She likes the music.
She likes
the music. So that's
what I'm
saying. So it's a trip, man. How tough this is. And another thing is that so many of our youth, that's all they know, because it's been for a whole generation that this crap has been being pushed to the masses of the people. The golden age ended in the early 90s. And so, you know, it's like 92, you know, they started seeing more and more of this crap. And if, even though there's still beautiful brothers and sisters making this conscious music, it's funky, it's good. Man, I got some new stuff recently, man, some good music. It's still not getting played. You know, Common got a new album out, but some good stuff on it. It's from Chicago. You think they play it in Chicago? Nope. They sure don't.
Mm. You said that this person.
We go ahead.
You said this person. She was with Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Now I thought they had signed on to Clear the Airways Project and the mission from a previous.
Some have. I mean, like the local chapter here has. And
okay.
So we just, you know, I wish the nationally they would look at that. I mean, it's like when Chuck D says in that song "Harder Than You Think," which was a top club song in Europe, but didn't get no play out here.
Yeah.
So you say F the police, but who's stopping you from shooting me?
Right, right.
So yeah, man, it's a struggle, bro. So the struggle continues. We're still optimistic that in 9 days we're gonna see some big changes, and this stuff will be off these radio stations, off our children, off the backs and the necks of our children. This music is mentally raping the minds of our children, and it has to stop, bro. It has to. Look, real quick though, man, I gotta tell you this story real quick too. This friend of mine, sister out of Chicago. Yeah, I don't know if I told you this already or not, but she called me because her one of her mothers came into the school and was like pissed because the other children in the school were calling her daughter Heffany. Calling her daughter Heffany. She knew what it was. I knew right away what it was. It's a song by Lil Mauer, but what I forget her name is. No, it's M.A. is the last part, where she talks about getting deep-throated. And this is a girl talking about another girl deep-throating her. Talking about, if you're not satisfied with your man, give me a call. If you don't like what I'm doing, you're going to see this gun that my brother got in his hand, and I got one on my waist, too. This is all in the video. And they drinking, getting drunk beforehand. But she says, you call her Stephanie. I call her Heffany. So calling the girl Heffa. And so she asked one of the children in the class, why did you call, what did you call Stephanie? She said, I said Heffany. He said, where'd you get that from? It's in a song. And this is the 4-year-old.
Oh, 4-year-old.
It's in a song.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Well, like you know, man, I definitely are behind everything that y'all are doing. I'm going to try to come up with some more projects to try to aid. Definitely need to be targeting whoever the new FCC chairman is going to be, because ultimately that's the agency that has the regulatory power over these terrestrial radio stations. And so definitely want to stay on my grind on helping y'all in this movement, because it's very important. Like Malcolm X said, media controls the minds of the masses. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that that's literal. That's literal. There have been scientific studies that show the impact of media on behavior. So this is very important. But thank you, man.
You've been so helpful, brother. Yeah, you've been so helpful so far, man, and all this year, man. I want to appreciate that, man. Asante Sana. We got to talk offline, because I really need to get to talk to you. I'm going to send you my number via other medium, and we'll be in touch, man. We really appreciate what you do, man. We love Black Talk Radio. We need to support it more and get it out there, man. You really make it happen with some of that real news, brother.
All right, Brother Kwabena. Well, do that, man. Hit me up with an email so we can talk offline.
All right, Clear the Airways Project is the best way to get a hold of that, y'all. Search that, and we need some warriors to make this happen.
All right, Brother Kwabena, you stay safe behind these enemy lines, bro.
Will do, brother. You too. Be careful. One love.
One love. All right. So that was Brother Kwabena from Clear the Airways Project. I have linked to their Facebook page if you want to check it out. Subscribe to it on if you're on Facebook. It is very important, the work that they are engaged in. Again, if you understand propaganda, if you are aware of the many studies that have been done on the relationship between media and behavior, then you should become part of this fight. And it is just, it's just a shame. It's just a shame for the country to be piling on Donald Trump about his language while acting like, oh, this other stuff that's coming over the radio airways every day, there's nothing wrong with it. It's harmless. Well, if that's harmless, then stop complaining about how Donald Trump talks about women. If you don't care about what's coming over the airwaves on black public radio, and I call it public radio, even if it's owned by a private corporation, because the public airwaves have to be licensed to these people. So the airwaves are indeed public. So you should care about that. If you don't, then, you know, just stop it with the selective outrage about certain people using certain type of vulgar language, because you're coming off as a hypocrite. All right. So let me get to some of these stories. I will be on air only for about maybe 15 more minutes. Then coming up, we have a pre-recorded broadcast of the Barbershop coming on. It'll be about Kanye West meeting with Donald Trump. That's coming to you from Cobra. You can visit them at cobrasinaction.org. That's coming up. Again, Tando Radio Show will not be on air today. They won't be back until next week. But Blacks in Business Radio will be on air tonight on Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. So I want to get to this main story. This main story is finally, again, weeks ago, I produced a BTR commentary about how the United States was being all nice to these drug addicts. And I don't demonize people who are addicted to drugs, but being so nice to all these white people that's overdosing and being so caring and humane towards them and coming up with all these different programs to save their lives and to keep them out of prison, out of slavery and what have you. While at the same time, you're funding the global drug war with U.S. tax dollars, including the Philippines. So I did a report on the Philippines, and I called on people to write their congressmen, their representatives in USA Inc., and say something about them continuing to fund the Philippine government while it's on a murderous rampage against people either accused of using or selling drugs. So finally, I guess, you know, people did make those calls, but finally the United States government, the Obama administration, is going to withhold those U.S. tax dollars from the Philippines. This story comes to you from alternet.org. Just share a little bit with you. It says, for the past 6 months, the Philippines has waged a brutal, bloody war against people who use drugs, people who sell drugs, and people who are either who are simply assumed to be doing either, meaning, you know, you don't know, but you think they might be selling drugs or might be a drug addict. So just to be safe, we gonna kill you. This war on the country's most vulnerable citizens has been undertaken at the behest of the Filipino president, Rodrigo Duterte, who, upon assuming office in June, made a public call for police and citizens alike to execute people who use or sell drugs. This guy right here should be there should be an invasion of the Philippines and this guy taken into custody and put on trial at The Hague or somewhere for human rights violations. This man has bragged about murdering people before he became president when he was a mayor in the Philippines. I forget what city it was, But I mean, this is just outright murder. Since June, they have killed over 6,000 people, and that number is likely to be higher. All while the United States government is giving this man millions upon millions upon millions, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and weapons. So when I hear people, this again, like when I talk about slavery, people be acting like slavery was abolished in 1865. Yeah, there was a mass effort to brainwash you to believe that lie, but if you read the 13th Amendment, you would know that that's not true. All right, the brainwashing. And so, you know, here we got the United States who have been pushing this drug war globally, and now I hold them directly responsible for these people. Well, obviously Duarte is most directly responsible, but the United States put him on this path with their global drug war they've been waging since Nixon. To date, over 6,000 people have been executed in Duarte's egregious war. Further, 800, now check this out, 840,000 people who turned themselves in to authorities saying that they got a drug problem, thinking that they was going to get some help, thinking that, oh, they not going to kill us since we turned ourselves in and we don't want to use drugs, it's an addiction. They've been killing those people. They've been killing those people without charge, without trial, for turning themselves in for having a drug addiction. So it says a harrowing New York Times photo essay on the Philippines highlighted not even those that turn themselves in are spared from being murdered. So this is state-sponsored murder, literally state-sponsored murder. Initially, the United States, which boasts of a historic partnership with the Philippines, was silent about the tragedy unfolding in the country. However, in recent weeks, the U.S. government has become more vocal in its opposition to the gross human rights violations associated with Duarte's war on drugs. State Department Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner said in a press briefing that we're very concerned, deeply concerned, I would say, about reports of extrajudicial killings of individuals suspected to have been involved in drug activity in the Philippines. What do you mean, reports? The man told you himself that he's doing it. All right? You don't need no reports. He said it himself. Let me see. After impassioned statements by Senators Patrick Leahy and Benjamin Cardin about the gravity of the situation in the Philippines, the State Department vowed to redirect $9 million in aid away from the Philippine counter-narcotics training. Last month, the U.S. halted planned sales of over 26,000 assault rifles to the Philippines after Senator Cardin vowed to block the sale. Now, the United States is announcing that it will defer economic aid to the Philippines because Duarte has shown no signs of restraint or of reversing his inhumane drug policy. Molly Casino, a spokeswoman for the U.S. Embassy in the Philippines, said that the decision was taken due to significant concerns around the rule of law and civil liberties in the Philippines. Neither the U.S. or Philippine government has clarified the size of the grant, but officials said it was lower than the previous aid package of $434 million. I can't remember. I did report on the size of that pot package in an earlier broadcast, but this is good news. This is good news. It's still too little. It's still, this guy is a criminal. This guy's a murderer. He's liking himself to Hitler, and not just liking himself to Hitler, he's doing the things that Hitler did. And that's just start rounding up citizens and murdering them. So we up to a count of about 6,000. How long before the United States intervenes militarily? Again, not that I put any kind of faith in this government to do, to practice justice, but I just recall President Obama, the State Department, others in his administration saying, telling lies, talking about Gaddafi was killing his own people, so we got to work with NATO to go bomb him back into the Stone Ages and set him up to be murdered by jihadists. So, oh, we can save the people. Now, look, I mean, give me a damn break. But now we got confirmed reports. They know that Duarte is really killing his own people, and they not taking similar action to what they took in Libya, because Libya was a bunch of BS. They were lying to you. All right. So I thought, again, this is good news. This is good news. It goes on to say the move by the U.S. government to make aid and weapon sales conditional on respect for human rights is a good step in the right direction and is symbolically important in demonstrating that the U.S. will not stand for widespread abuses in the name of the war on drugs. Well, you know, that's just a bunch of talk and posturing, because there is no bigger human rights violator than the United States. All right, still practicing slavery and human trafficking. They have not ended it. They did not abolish it. So, but, you know, that's just rich coming from this government. But again, this is still a step in the right direction. I don't want tax dollars that the U.S. government is taking from me by force or under the threat of slavery, then giving it to these countries where they are murdering people. All right, so that's good news. That's good news. Here's the problem, though. What the hell is going to happen once Donald Trump gets in there? Because some of the people that he's appointing to his administration are drug war warriors. They stuck in the Nixon era in their approach to addressing any kind of addiction problems, and that wasn't what Nixon was trying to do. He specifically, or his chief of staff specifically, said they started the drug war to target black people and Vietnam War protesters. They call them hippies and whatnot. But Donald Trump gave this guy a phone call, or he called Donald Trump, I don't know who initiated the call, but Donald Trump expressed support for this mass murder that's going on. So we only got a short time. Let's see what happens once Donald Trump gets in there, because he has praised this murderer. So when you praise murderers, that says something about you, and you support extrajudicial killings. Man, I'm just scared right now for a lot of non-white people in non-white countries. If you think President Obama killed a bunch of you with drones and what have you, just wait till Trump gets in there. Man, who knows, man? He might go further and farther way above, you know, that drone program that he's going to inherit. So that is the main story that I wanted to share with you. Sorry, again, we had those technical issues trying to get Brother Kwabena in. I have some other stories that I wanted to share with you. Let me just, not going to be able to get all of them. Here is some good news to report, since I do report on a lot of bad news, but I don't do this program to make people feel good. It is to inform people about what's going on so that they can make a decision on how they're going to counter the system. But here is a report that I came across about a week ago, but I never shared it. Teen use of any illicit drug other than cannabis are at new lows. Like I had written up, right now you got a lot of grown people who are ODing on that good Afghan heroin that the CIA and intelligence agencies are facilitating the transport over here to the United States so they can continue to fund their white supremacist operations all over the planet. So, but yay, if that means we got to sacrifice some white people, hell, they're just drug addicts. Anyway, you're seeing unprecedented amount of people dying from drug overdoses, and they're all mostly adults. For the first time in U.S. history, drug-related overdoses have exceeded, and I'm talking to people who die, because having an overdose doesn't mean that you necessarily die, but those deaths have exceeded gun violence deaths. Excuse me. I think the last figure I read, about 50,000 or so in 2016 have died from drug overdoses. But you would think then that might mean, oh my God, oh, that means all these kids gonna have access to these drugs and they gonna be using drugs. And you know, the whole drug war propaganda that they have always used for years and saying we gotta make this substance illegal, that substance illegal, because we trying to protect the kids. We don't want the kids to have access to the drugs. Well, this report shows that whatever people have been doing to educate children on why they should not use drugs have been successful. Not the drug war and putting people into slavery over it, but education. Just informing people about the dangers of it and why you shouldn't do it and what have you. So let me share this University of Michigan study that came out. Teenagers' use of drugs, alcohol, and tobacco declined significantly in 2016 at rates that are at their lowest level since the 1990s, a new national study showed. The results derived from the annual Monitoring the Future study, now in its 42nd year. About 45,000 students and some 380 public and private secondary schools have been surveyed each year in this national study designed and conducted by research scientists at University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research and funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Students in grades 8, 10, and 12 are surveyed. Overall, the proportion of secondary school students in the country who use any illicit drug in the prior year fell significantly between 2015 and 2016. The decline in narcotic drugs is of particular importance, the researchers say. This year's improvements were particularly concentrated among 8th and 10th graders. Now, they say, also mentioning cannabis, that cannabis use kind of remained the same. I kind of take issue with the language that they use because they try to make it seem like, oh, there's widespread use among 12th graders. Here it is. Here's a portion of this piece. It says considerably fewer teens reported using any illicit drug other than cannabis in the prior 12 months. 5%, 10%, and 14% in grades 8, 10, and 12 respectively than at any time since 1991. So again, 14% of 12th graders reporting, and this doesn't mean they're drug addicts. It just simply means they may have used at some point during that 12 month period. Doesn't mean that they were smoking every day. So again, facts are important. But this also goes to show you that legalizing cannabis has not led to an increase in children having access to drugs and using drugs or using cannabis specifically. Even though, going back to our conversation with Brother Quabin about Clear the Airways Project, even though drug use is promoted over radio stations every day in the form of so-called rap music. No other genre talks about using drugs, selling drugs, and promoting drugs like they do, like that industry does. And that's by design. But despite that, despite all of this pushing, the vast majority of our children are not using drugs. So I just don't want to hear any kind of excuses. Oh, we got to keep cannabis illegal and putting people into slavery all for the sake of the children, because that's a bunch of BS. I don't advocate that people use drugs, but I don't advocate that I have the right to tell you any damn thing about what you put in your body. I can tell you how this shooting heroin is bad for you, but I don't feel like I have the right to say, oh, since you shooting heroin, I think you belong in slavery. And that is, in effect, what we are saying as a society, that people don't have the freedom and liberty to make bad decisions, because we know best what's best for them. And so we gonna so-called help them by putting them into slavery. Give me a damn break. Don't fall for that crap. All right, let me see. I got to get ready to wrap it up here to make way for the barbershop. The barbershop broadcast is coming on. Need to get that up. Let me see. There is an update that I will share before I close out on these states. Again, we just had an election, and more than people were voting on more than just who's going to become the next CEO of USA Inc. or the next governor or any of that. It was other stuff on. There were different ballot initiatives in different states. So I'm going to give an update on that. On the states that recently voted to legalize medicinal as well as recreational cannabis. This comes to you also from stopthedrugwar.org. They do great work. Let's see. No, I don't want to share that story. All right. Nationally, let me move down to Arizona. On Tuesday, a state appeals court ruled that local officials cannot use federal law to harass dispensaries. In a unanimous decision, the state court of appeals ruled that local officials cannot use the federal ban on cannabis to refuse to provide zoning for dispensaries. Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery had no legal basis to claim that federal law trumps the state's voter-approved medical marijuana, the court held. This is a guy, Republican, right? So, again, these people, their political, religious affiliations don't matter to me. But their hypocrisy does. And you'll have these same type of people who will be claiming states' rights and all that kind of stuff when it comes to voting rights for non-white people. Oh, they'll be like, oh, the federal government is overstepping its bounds and what have you. Oh, but when it comes to want to keep slavery going by keeping stuff like cannabis illegal and subject people to slave catching, then all of a sudden they want to defer to the federal government. Well, damn it, you can't have it both ways. In Arkansas on Tuesday, state regulators set the number of commercial grows at 5. The State Medical Cannabis Commission voted Tuesday to allow up to 5 commercial cultivation centers in the state. The Arkansas Medical Marijuana Amendment, approved by voters last month, specified that there could be between 4 and 8 centers. The commission opted to start on the low end. Grows won't start, however, until rules about growing, processing, and distribution are finalized. Maine, in the state of Maine, up there with Governor Paul, what's his name, LePage, ain't that the one that blamed all these white people ODing on heroin, blaming it on black drug dealers coming from New York into Maine and getting their white daughters pregnant. And anyway, their state did vote to legalize cannabis. So last Thursday, the governor said the state should get rid of medicinal cannabis after legalization. Tea Party Republican Governor Paul LePage called for an end to the state's medical cannabis program. If you got recreational cannabis, it's over the counter, he said. Why do we need medical cannabis? But initiative backers said the intent of the legalization initiative was to respect medicinal or medical cannabis and have dual programs running side by side. Well, here's also another thing. Okay, why you would have two separate programs? Because you can extract certain oils that have shown in research to be very helpful in treating epilepsy. It's called CBD oils, cannabinoid oils, and what have you, where you can get those oils from hemp, which is a part of the cannabis family, but it doesn't have high levels of THC, which is what gets people high. So you don't want to get kids high. So you do want to have medical cannabis to where you're growing industrial hemp and getting those oils from that free or with a less a percentage of THC in it. So, but anyway, that's great news, though, that Maine has legalized cannabis. Michigan, on Tuesday, the state's new medical cannabis laws went into effect. New state laws that will explicitly allow for dispensaries, regulate growing and processing facilities, and allow patients to use non-smokable forms of the drug are in effect as of Tuesday. That means like your brownies, your cookies, your smoothies. Everybody don't smoke cannabis. Cannabis is edible, and certain Native American tribes used it as a food source. This new law will help Michiganders of all ages and with varying medical conditions access safe products to relieve their suffering, Governor Rick Snyder said after signing the bill back in September. We can finally implement a solid framework that gives patients a safe source from which to purchase and utilize medical cannabis. There are a couple of more states. Ohio and Tennessee also rolled out medical cannabis bills or legalized medical cannabis. Now, with that said, the DEA, the crooked, corrupt DEA, has classified CBD, which is the medicine that's used to treat epilepsy that comes from cannabis. They're trying to say even the kind that don't get you high, that comes from industrial hemp, which is in the cannabis family, even though it don't get you high, we still consider it to be marijuana, and we still gonna lock people up for it. The DEA needs to be abolished. They really, really do. They need to be abolished. All right. I will be back on air tomorrow, which is Friday. Just to let you know, the programming coming up. We got the barbershop coming up here as soon as I end this program. And then at 8 o'clock p.m., we have Blacks in Business Radio. Got a couple of black business owners scheduled to be on the program. Make sure you check that out. In the meantime, recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. You got evil people running around that want to throw you into slavery because they suspect you of selling drugs or using drugs, when the government, the U.S. government, is the biggest drug trafficker on the planet. Slavery was not abolished in this country. What they call mass incarceration is a continuation of slavery. And just like it took an abolitionist movement to push that issue to the head back in the 1800s, we need a new abolitionist movement in the 21st century to agitate for end, finally, to slavery in all its forms. But you need to be codified. You need to be safe and careful so that you don't become one of the million or more, almost 2 million slaves in America. Peace and blessings to all. Go, love, hey, go, love, hey.
Rock.